We're down to the final four, and I'm going to steal yet another page from the reality show handbook, and we're going to do a final four rundown with our very special guest, Tom Merritt, the coach that you've been hearing all week. That's coming up right now on America's Next Top Podcaster. I'm here with Coach Extraordinaire. Just calling you Coach just feels like I'm underselling you. But Coach Extraordinaire, Tom. Hi, Tom.
Hey, Brian Ibbett. How are you?
Good, Tom Merritt. I guess I didn't say your last name, and now that you've said mine, I feel like I need to say yours.
Well, you know, I do that because sometimes I just call you Ibbett, but I'm like, is that polite? So I call you Brian, but then I'm like, well, they might think I mean Brian Brushwood, which would be silly because they just heard you talk, so they know
right.
That. So yeah, that was the weird thought process.
Answer to both. You know, you can call me Ibbett, and for future reference, if you want to call me Ibbett, you can totally call me Ibbett.
Yeah, they're appropriate for the time. Less about offending you and more about offending the others listening. Like, that's disrespectful. He should.
Well, not to mention all the other Ibbots. Whoa.
For sure. I have my coach's shorts on. My baseball cap is backwards on my head, and my whistle is around my neck.
Yeah. Good. You have a clipboard with everybody's with a bunch of arrows and circles.
I make them all
and
do
X's.
Sprints. You know, before we warm up for podcasting. Yeah.
Good. Yes. Excellent. And it's funny, we're down to the final four here, but we've gone 9 weeks, and really you and I, aside from that one introductory podcast where I talked about what was going on, you and I haven't talked much.
That's true.
On air, quote unquote, on air about this process. So really, let me kind of get your overall thoughts on how are we doing so far?
Man, I have to say, I was looking forward to this. I volunteered specifically for this role and I am really enjoying it. It has been so much fun because it's such a good group. All the way back to the beginning, it has been a great group of people who just want to do good podcasts, and they're super appreciative, and have great ideas, and want to, you know, and want to collaborate and want to take advice, but they're also not taking orders. They take advice, but they also don't always do what I advise, which is good. Sometimes they're like, you know what though, I think this is really my gut tells me, and they go with it, and so it has just been a blast.
And what's been great about that is that they've done that. They've colored outside the lines
that you've
suggested for them. And sometimes it works. And other times it hasn't worked. And the judges have kind of made the same suggestions that that you had. So I love seeing that it is a knowing of when to break the rules or when to follow the guidelines and when not to follow the guidelines. And that's, I couldn't have asked for anything better from that. And you're absolutely right about this being a great group to have this inaugural season of the show feature, because it does set the bar high for any future seasons. You know, people listening now have to decide if they were thinking about applying, they have to really look and say, oh, all right, how would I fit in with this group of 12 or where would I fit in the ranks here?
Yeah.
So,
yeah. And I think when people look at reality shows like Big Brother and Survivor, they think that's what reality shows are like. It's all backstabbing and people, you know, out for number one. And then you see the music competitions like American Idol or The Voice, and it seems like everyone gets along, and you wonder, like, are they just covering up all the backstabbing? Is there really a sense of camaraderie? And the fact is, this has emphasized what I believe to be true already, that most people really do just want to, you know, cooperate, and they
support each
bond
other.
in the course of the competition in a way that means that they, you know, they want to win, but they truly are also supporting their fellows because they're all going through this together. And I think the way you constructed it where they're on teams, you know, really kind of underlines that.
Yeah. And for the next season, I'm going to probably rearrange the teams a little bit sooner than I did this time. We've only had two challenges with the current arrangement two challenges with the second arrangement of teams. And I kind of want to shuffle them a little bit earlier to kind of get a little bit more of that dynamic.
Switch. So you switch up those team members a little bit. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. So that they've got new people to collaborate with and new people to work
and
with.
A bigger challenge because, you know, those teams started to gel midway. And then when they got shaken up, it was a little hard for the newbie. And yeah. I think in each case, am I right? There were two from the previous team and one new. Is that how it shook out?
It shook up that way for one of the teams.
Side. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Really, the one of the teams was made up of one person from each of the three teams. Okay, it was perfect. Yeah. And if they just would have voted out the right person, then we could have had. Well, let's actually talk about that because I had that in my notes to talk to you about too. And feel free to go as general or as specific as you want. Do you feel like the judges have gotten it right every week?
No, I don't. I'd say they run about 50-50 with what I think. And I'll be honest, most weeks, just the way things worked out, I would listen to the submissions before I would find out from Hammond what the judges said. And so I would have my own opinion untainted most of the time by expectations. I think there were a couple of weeks where I found out ahead of time. But I would say, oh, yeah, no, this is clearly the better one. And I think 50% of the time they agreed with me and 50% of the time they didn't. I'll be honest. I more often disagreed with the judges on what they thought the winner was versus who they eliminated. The eliminations, I'd say, were more 75%.
Yeah. 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 That is easily the toughest part of the show. Even though we know that we're starting with 12 and we've got to get it down to one, even with that knowledge in hand, the feeling of having to say somebody's name at the end of every, every judging episode and say, I'm sorry, you're no longer part of the competition, even though, you know, a good portion of the time they're not in the recording for whatever reasons. It still is really, really tough to say goodbye to these people. So.
Hammond actually has more insight in that question than anybody because he's the one who will tell me, you know, somebody lost or somebody won. And I will respond like, oh, really? I would have thought it was this other person or whatever.
Right. Interesting. I wonder, you and I should probably compare notes at some point and see what we thought. Because I've disagreed with the judges a couple times, and I'm wondering if they were for the same episodes.
Yeah, there's one here where I'm like, as expected, and then there's a couple where I'm just like, what, really? Huh? I don't know that way. But.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny. Well, we are down to our final four, and we've got four great podcasters and contestants in this thing. Amy, Jerry, Gidget, and Alex still vying for that top spot. Let's go ahead and talk about each one of them and what you think are their strengths, what things they might need to work on. They won't hear any of this until probably after after they've been eliminated or they've won one of the two eventualities. Well, let's talk first about Amy. Obviously the judges have fawned over Amy's delivery and her voice. I think the term NPR voice has come up a lot when talking about Amy.
I feel like Amy's a cobra.
Just waiting to strike kind of thing?
She waits to strike. She kind of hangs back. A lot of times in the coaching sessions, she doesn't have a ton to say, but she always knows where to direct her energies. And usually, 99% of the time, she executes really well. You know, she's the multiple threat. She's the five-tool player of podcasters. She can produce, she can edit, she can voice. And so I feel like she probably doesn't get enough attention for the amount of talent she has because she's NPR voice, right? She's not Justin Robert Young voice. She's not loud and super energetic, but she's super talented.
She is. Killed it with the Food Week, with Culinary Capers.
If you were part of that 6% in 2012, you may have unwittingly been part of a crime. Stealing syrup. Why? Because 2012 was the year that over 500,000 gallons of sugary breakfast condiment were stolen in what's called the Great Canadian Maple Syrup Heist.
Had a little bit of a stumbling block during the comedy podcast, I think, with the organic cosplay, although I believe, the judges even said that she was saved by the fact that she did so well with Culinary Capers. I think that was Justin's point.
This week on Organic Cosplay, a sustainable journey, choosing the right responsibly produced wig for you.
Hello, everyone. Amy here, and I want to thank you for joining me again.
that were it not for culinary capers, she might have been the one to go home in week five.
Oh, they were thinking that the content saved her?
They were thinking that culinary capers saved her.
Oh, the fact that she wasn't in culinary capers.
No. The fact that she, so culinary capers was the one that she did for the food related podcast in week two, but the comedy one was the organic cosplay. And because it was her concept, she was going to go home for that, because it was the lowest rated of the three shows. But because she had done so well with culinary capers, jury said no. They said
we're gonna pay attention to what you
give
done
her another chance
and give you another
right
chance.
Exactly yeah. Give you another chance because of culinary capers.
Well, yeah. the comedy one is always the hardest one, and they just really didn't push the envelope far enough in the places they needed to make that really funny.
Mm-hmm. And it's funny because for that challenge, we did have three very different levels of commitment to the bit or effort for making a specific comedy podcast. I think podcasters went all the way in with the organic cosplay, whereas Ruth Bader Ginsburg's, Bill and Bridget, kind of half, I don't know, half improvised and half scripted something, whereas the Three Angst and an Aussie just went completely unscripted, didn't even really have a plan going in, recorded something, it ended up being funny, and it ended up being the winner that week.
Yeah.
And speaking of the Three Angst and an Aussie, one of the competitors, we still have two of the three. Well, we have one Yank and one Aussie left. Let's talk about the Yank. Let's talk about Jerry, who's kind of, for me, been a dark horse in this competition. Would you agree?
Yeah, definitely. Jerry's the one that always does his bit and does it well, but he's never been the leader. From what I could tell, it may be wrong behind the scenes, but that has been my impression, is that Jerry's in there as the trusty lieutenant to do whatever needs to be done, you know, whether it's concept or voice or whatever. And so it'll be interesting to see him out on his own, because he is a dark horse that I think it would be unfair to say, oh, he's survived by just hanging around and not taking risks. I don't think that's true at all. But he now has to drive the bus. And I think he can. In fact, I think he's got a pretty good angle on things. But this will be the first time that he steps into the spotlight, for me anyway, into the brightest part of the spotlight. He's done some amazing things, don't get me wrong, but this is going to be fun to watch, because this could be that Jennifer Hudson like thing where you're like, wait, she's been in this competition the whole time, huh? That's amazing.
Right, exactly. We didn't notice. Yeah, the first time I just really stopped and paid attention was during that storytelling podcast, when he was telling the story of killing his first patient.
I still remember the first time I killed somebody. Let me start back at the beginning. I'm a doctor. I practice primary care currently. But like all doctors, I had to go through medical school. And during medical school, one of my attendings in trauma surgery quoted the alarming statistic that each and every person in the room had a 60% chance of killing someone within the next 10 years by their direct action.
Basically.
Incredible. Incredible.
Absolutely incredible. And that's probably, you know, now that he's on his own, that's the leg that he needs to absolutely stand on. That's the focus that he needs to bring to this, is that ability to tell a story and a compelling one.
Yeah, and I'm sure if you hear me say, like, he hasn't been in the spotlight, you would point to that episode and say, you're Tom, you're crazy. And that was absolutely, for me, the best story that has been told on any of these weeks, because it was from the heart, it was true, and it was risky for him to tell. But he needed his team to bring him to that decision. At least that's how I felt about it. And so he's going to need to either... he sort of silently got them to let him do that, or he was pushed into it, and he's going to have to be doing all the pushing himself now.
That's right, because prior to deciding on that story, they were all looking at different stories of love, being that it was Valentine's week. They were each going to tell a meet cute story, basically, and I'd forgotten about that. Wow, yeah, good point. Good. He won't have that. He won't have that battle.
And
so either it's going to work in his favor,
he will be free to fly because of that. Who knows?
Mm-hmm. Who knows? His Three Angst and an Aussie counterpart, Gidget, Again, another voice that Justin primarily, but I think Scott tends to fawn over as well. Our lone Aussie, our lone not America's Next Top Podcast American.
Yeah, what happens if an Aussie wins America's Next Top Podcast?
Oh my gosh! Well, there's a one in four chance of it happening.
I know.
Will there be a revolt?
It'll turn everything upside down.
The whole thing was just because I wanted to put some reference to American Idol in that hodgepodge of reality shows in the title, and it may come back to bite me. Gidget, obviously preparing for her interview, but she had a great interview, I thought, with Rob Sesternino in that fourth challenge, the Outwit cast.
Six-time podcast award winner, podcasting about reality TV since 2010, and as Jeff said, the smartest player to have never won the game of Survivor. Welcome, Rob. Such a pleasure to have you on our show.
Hi, Gidget. How are you?
Oh, look, I am thrilled to be able to chat to you. Longtime fan, but you probably get that quite a lot.
It was her wheelhouse, being a big fan of reality shows, and she was able to kind of not fangirl all over the place, but still show kind of that healthy respect to the interview subject that made them feel like they were talking to somebody who knew them, who understood them.
Yeah. And she was the source of their storytelling podcast with the dad telling, the stories of the war.
I went into camp in December 1941, and that was just prior to when the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor on the morning of December the 7th. Well, that created an enormous scare in Australia, even though we were thousands of miles from that particular area. Even in camp where I was at Bradfield Park, they had air raid drills, and everybody used to rush on down the bush.
Jerry did the voice, I think, if I have that right.
You're thinking of it was the educational podcast, the one that's most recent one, the Children of War.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think people get dazzled by her amazing accent and don't realize that she is a solid force. She would be in this top four without the accent, no doubt.
No doubt. And behind the scenes, you know, we talk about her voice, but behind the scenes, she's been editing a lot of what those teams have been producing. So she's coming into this, especially coming into this interview challenge, but even the last challenge or last couple challenges, coming into this with a jack of all trades perspective as well, kind of like Amy.
And honestly, I think I want to phrase this properly. When I was coaching them for the interview challenge, the one where they have to book it themselves, everybody had good ideas. Gidget was the only one saying, well, I've got five good ideas that'll be fine, but I really want to get somebody big, right?
Yeah.
Everybody else was sort of like saying, of the people I can get, I know I can get this one and make a really good show. And that's fine. But I loved that Gidget was already but maybe I can do even better, because that's the way you need to think in these final rounds.
She was really aiming for the stars. And I don't know who she ended up getting, but I think it's even changed since I've talked to her and you've talked to her. So I don't know. It's going to be a surprise at the end of the week when we hear her show. And then lastly, we've got Alex, and kind of speaking again about that storytelling episode, telling the story of his grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it was a very big shining moment for Alex, who has been part of ensembles prior to that, but that was his one point to step into the forefront and deliver.
I'm going to tell you a story about Frank. Frank was a Cuban-American immigrant who fled Cuba shortly after the revolution, and this was the early 1960s. He risked his life to escape with his wife, he had a 2-year-old son, and they left with no money and only a few personal belongings. The government even threatened to kill him and his family for leaving.
He has said to me that interviews are his thing. He's an experienced podcaster, and it shows. I think Alex's fatal flaw, and I feel like I should have said this more clearly to him now that I'm thinking about it, is that he is already good at this. And if you're not careful, I'm not saying he'll rest on his laurels, but he won't feel the need to stretch as much naturally, because I know how to do this. And he could get lapped and do a sure. very good interview, but just not have pushed enough. So I hope that's not the case. I hope that he takes his sort of experiential advantage and just doubles down on it.
Oh, I hope so. Yeah, good point. And that's the risk you run when you come into something like this and have a challenge that just seems to fit your your existing talents. The last thing you want to do is say, "Oh, good, an easy week."
Yeah, yeah.
You want to push yourself for sure.
When you feel like you have to stretch to achieve it, you end up overcompensating and you push yourself farther. But when you feel like you can do it, you don't push yourself. I mean, just naturally. So you have to think about that.
Right. Right. Nope. That's the way to do it. And that's the way to get noticed for sure. All right. I'm not going to ask you who you think is going to win because I don't feel like we want to place those bets just yet.
Yeah. But, well, plus I haven't heard their entries yet. So,
well, I'm talking about win the whole thing.
No, I know. But I think after I hear these entries,
after you hear these weeks, okay.
That will tell me more because this is the first time I know I said it mostly about Jerry, but it's true for all of them. This is the first time they're on their own.
Yeah. Yep, and it's going to be sink or swim based on that. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like I do that at this point it's anybody's game? Like any of these four could win?
Like you say, I feel like Jerry's the dark horse, and I wouldn't be shocked if he won. But he's sort of, you know, if they're all four towards the tape, his head isn't quite as leaned forward yet as the others. Maybe that doesn't mean he can't just lean right past them with a burst of speed. But yeah, otherwise, I got nothing. I think any one of the four could take it.
I think I've learned that you spend way too much time at the track. win place or show, Tom. Win place or show.
I don't know that I've ever been to the track, actually.
It's oh, really? Are you saying that the one time I've been I may have been there more times than you?
I was imagining Olympic runners when I said that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I guess I was just assuming.
I think what we've learned is
the dark
you
horse,
spend way too much time.
I think so. I guess so. Right. Well, okay, maybe. Excellent. Well, we're definitely both going to be waiting with bated breath to see what happens at the end of this week with the interview podcast, and then of course the last couple challenges, what they're able to pull out. But Tom, this is great. And again, I've said this before via text. I've said this to you when we're not recording, but this show would not be what it is without you and your coaching and your contributions and your just immense knowledge of what makes a good show, what makes something compelling. I can't thank you enough for being part of this.
My pleasure, man. This is just fun for me. So maybe that shows because that's one of the things I tell them is like, you got to find something you care about because that's how you do it really well.
Right. Well, keep me posted at the point where you don't care about this. Then,
if that ever happens, I promise.
If that ever happens, then we're bringing we'll put Jerry in the judge in the coach's spot, and people will quit after week one.
I doubt that that's going to happen. Either one of those things.
No, I don't think so either. Excellent. Well, Tom, thank you so much, and we'll talk to you later on the season.
Thanks, Abbott.
All right, special thanks to Tom Merritt for this very special episode of America's Next Top Podcaster. Don't worry, we're back to the normal format with our next episode as our contestants are working on their interviews. We'll hear how those are going, and we'll do our judging and elimination episode later this week. So stay tuned. That's all coming up next on America's Next Top Podcaster.